You can shop from anywhere doing pretty much anything. You might shop while working, eating, or even listening to this podcast. And however you shop, we all know and love the thrill of the hunt. But do you also know how to get the thrill of the best deals? Because Rakuten shoppers do. With Rakuten, they get the deals they love with the most savings and cash back. And you can get it too. Start getting cash back at your favorite stores like Sephora, Nike, and even Expedia if you're looking to get some travel in. And getting cash back doesn't mean you have to miss out on sales because those can just be stacked right on top. It's easy to use and based on a simple idea. Stores pay Rakuten for sending them shoppers, and Rakuten shares the money with you as cash back through PayPal or check. Download the free Rakuten app and never miss a deal. Or go to Rakuten.com to start getting the most bang for your buck. That's Rakuten.
Contained herein are the heresies of Radolf Buntwine, erstwhile monk turned traveling medical investigator. Join me as I uncover the blasphemous truth of a plague-ridden world, that ours is not a loving God, and we are not its favored children. The Heresies of Radolf Buntwine, coming January 2nd, wherever podcasts are available.
Hi, it's Malls. Reminder before the show to make sure that you are subscribed in Apple Podcasts. And if you're new, welcome to Please Advise Nation. Our show only works with your participation, so call 323-450-7408 with your dilemmas and life questions. Again, that's 323-450-7408 or email askpleaseadvise@gmail.com with your voice notes or emails. Thank you and enjoy. Hey, everybody. It's episode 184 of Please Advise. Christina, I was just thinking about this before. 184 is like, I don't feel like we have a lot to show for ourselves after 5 years.
I know. I was thinking about this, too, because like we've been doing this for almost 5 years. And it's just
I know.
Like,
I said to someone the other day, I was like, we're about to like hit like 200 episodes, like knowing that like we're still 20 away from that or whatever.
Yeah.
And I was thinking to myself, like, OK, 200 episodes, that's like not bad. But like we've been doing this for 5 years. Like, I feel like we could do better. And it also doesn't feel like we've really like had long breaks.
Yeah. It's I don't know. I think it's also like our live status. Like, you know, it's one thing when this is like your main thing, but another it's like when you're trying to shove it into like one tiny piece of the week.
Or maybe it's our life status in that I'm expecting us to have like 300 episodes when in reality it's pretty good that we've done 184.
Yeah, I mean like that we've been able to do this independently. Like,
yeah,
you know, I think it's solid. I don't know.
Proud of us.
Yeah.
Okay, so our guest today is Kelly Lahi. She's back. Kelly, you were on our show last year. We found you via the internet. And if people want to go back and listen to her episode, you totally can. But basically, Kelly's like, you're 21 now, right? 25?
I am 21.
Yeah. And so she's basically like my 21-year-old internet friend in Florida. We both love Ariana Grande. I feel like I see, you know, I love the retweets you bring to my timeline. I think you bring me a lot of great retweets. And I just want to have you back on the show because it's very rare that we get to have a young person on we really enjoy. Like, I try to bring in some of the older folks because I feel like that's what we need to hear.
Yeah.
But sometimes we just need to hear from the youth. And Kelly,
absolutely,
that's you today.
Especially since, like, the ones in England are, like, leading the revolution about, like, climate change right now. Did you see, like, the protests that, like, teenage girls were leading?
Yeah, and then also like, or
I was like, what was I doing? I was just like on a message board about Smallville. That's what I was doing at 16.
I know. And did you see like the protesters that were like, they were trying to like deport people, and like the protesters circled the plane and like basically like wouldn't let the plane take off, and like the British government was like, it's cool, like don't worry, like you guys.
But I love that. Did you guys see the video of that girl who, like, wouldn't sit down and let the plane leave because this man was going to get deported? And she was like, absolutely not. Like,
oh, my God, no. There are some real heroes out there. Some really? Real heroes are stepping
yeah.
up.
Yeah.
That's one thing to, that's one good thing and to say. Is yeah. there's a lot of like evil-ass characters that we see out there. And then there's like obvious beacons of hope, like AOC. But then we also just have a lot of regular-ass citizens standing up for people. I think that's great.
Yeah, I think that's great.
Well, I mean, there's nothing like regular about it. Those are exceptional people that do that. But like that's kind of like averaging out the norm a little bit. That sort of makes people, I think, try harder to do the right thing when they can.
Yeah.
So
I know if you're getting shown up by a teenage girl, like,
well, I feel like teenage girls have always, like in history, have always absolutely. Like had such a huge role, like the braveness cultural of a teenage too. Girl.
Yeah.
Like it goes back to even like. Just like the Revolutionary War had like tons of teenage girls who were like champions. And there was a great story on Drunk History Season 1 that like actually took place in Massachusetts or to Drunk History Season 2. And Juno Temple played her. And basically like I grew up where the Revolutionary War, where all that shit started. And I never heard this story, which was basically about a girl that was like Paul Revere-ing her way through the East Coast, like trying to get people like rallied for the Revolutionary War. So, like, it's pretty dope, you know? When we think about, like, Paul Revere, so famous, most famous person where I'm from. And, yeah, besides Ben Affleck, I guess. Okay. So, Kelly, like, what is new with you? Where are you working? Who are you hanging out with? I see you out clubbing. What's going on?
Oh. well, yes, you know, I had my first sip of alcohol when I turned 21. I'm kidding. But been throwing it back since 16. But what's it called? Yeah. So nothing. I'm not working right now. I am in school full time. Still at the same school. I, you know, have my friend group. I like to go out. I'm actually usually bar hopping when you think I'm clubbing. But I...
oh, I'm sorry.
No, it's okay. Bars here are just really lit. And I just feel like if I maybe didn't grow up in Miami in high school, like, I wouldn't be, like, so exhausted to be able to actually attend clubs because, like, there are a lot over here. It's, like, a job.
You're right.
I think that, like, she has, like, I don't have club energy, yeah. but I totally am down for a bar crawl.
I was the same way. I, like, clubs are, honestly, clubs are draining. It's a whole experience. I, like, completely yeah. forgot the massive difference between clubs and bars in yeah. a lot of ways because I do this. I have bar energy. I do not have club energy.
I have
it's
bar
a whole...
energy.
Yeah.
I have really big bed energy, and yeah. so I stay in bed and watch Netflix.
Yeah, people have just been calling me a shut-in to my face recently, and I realize, like, that when people are just saying something in your face, like, that's when it's out of control. Like, you know, like, yeah. it would be one thing if they were just being like, oh, like, Molly doesn't leave too much yeah. or whatever. When someone's like, oh, like, you're a shut-in. Like, it's great. I'm like, oh, Jesus. But the reality is I've just – I've seen a lot of stuff, you know, it's, like you're going to have there. To bring me out of state to yeah. get me interested.
My friend makes fun of me because I'm always like, oh, I hate clubbing. And she's like, every time you go, you're like, I had so much fun. Let me tell you what happened. But like, you have to really get me there. Like once I'm there, I might have fun. But like getting me
well,
there,
yeah,
like, cause it's going to be a mission.
It's a different getting ready process. Like, there's such anticipation. I don't know if, like, you guys are dealing with, like, bottle service and lines, but, like, all of that's – if you're in bottle service, that's a special, like, anxiety and stress. And if you're in the regular line, that's its own special hell.
No. Like, oh, my God. That's – all of it's just exhausting.
Kelly, oh, do you wait in line?
People are always wearing sunglasses inside in Miami clubs, and, like, that's hard to look at, too. Like, it's just a lot.
Most of your night is just trying to get a drink.
Yeah.
At the bar.
Yeah. Yeah. Kelly, did you read the Justin Bieber, Hailey Baldwin cover?
Girl, so, you know.
I
had to wait, too. Everyone has to wait. So you did read it, the Hailey and Justin piece?
Yeah. It was cute.
Okay. You think it's cute?
It was like kind of cute, I guess. Yeah,
I felt like there was a lot of unhealthy relationship patterns that I was seeing. I feel like he doesn't like know how to act as a person.
Well, like, I mean, that makes sense because like he has a very unconventional life.
I think the part that really freaked me out was when he like, I think the part that freaked me out was when he jumped up on the bed and slobbered on her like a dog and then turned back to the reporter and was like, anyway, and it's just like, that's to me seems like your interpretation of like how a person would treat a loved one, and not like, that doesn't sound fun for either party.
Yeah.
Like someone being up in your shit and then like, you know, putting on this display in front of a stranger, strange reporter in the hotel room you live in. I don't know, man. Like I'm not going to, you know, I'm not going to throw out the S word, but like, I feel like there might be some personality issues there that really concern me.
Okay.
And also surrounding the way that he converses with people. I mean, he needs a mom, not a wife.
Yeah. I mean, honestly, like I thought the baby boo thing was pretty cute. I was like, oh, he calls her baby boo. Like, that's so like, like, I don't want to be called baby boo, but like, oh, cute, he says it to her. And now I'm kind of creeped out now that you put it like that. Yeah.
You know, like, I'm like, oh, he saw that in a movie and like, he thinks that's how people treat each other or something. I don't know. That's me. I also am always looking
how Mark Zuckerberg does like life. And I feel like that's Justin Bieber in relationships.
Yeah, I agree. I agree.
That's how I asked.
I hope he was truly nice to Selena Gomez, though. Like, I know that he, like, faux worships her, like, always calls her a princess. He was always very in love with her like that, even they were broken up. But I hope at the core of it, like, it wasn't too abusive for her. I hope that they were both pretty. I hope she's okay. I love Selena Gomez. I don't want anything bad for her. Haley Baldwin. Christina, what are your thoughts? I can tell Christina's sitting here chomping at the bit.
I was just thinking, like, you're like, he doesn't know how to be a person, and that would make sense why he like adheres so hard to like religion, because it's kind of just telling you how to be a person.
Yeah.
He
had no moral compass.
Instead of just like living life and deciding like who you, and also that church that he belongs to is like,
well,
horrible.
He switched churches.
Is he not with Hillsong anymore?
No.
Oh, okay.
No, it's interesting because, like, he has a new guy now, but I guess Carl Lentz, the guy who ran Hillsong, he was the one who Justin got off Xanax at his house. Mm-hmm. And then he, like, switched churches. And, like, this preacher that he's with is known as a much more, like, loving approach, where Carl Lentz is known as, like, a tough love approach. Mm-hmm. And he also looks like a fuckboy. Like, yeah. Carl Lentz looks like a... Do you know who I'm talking about, Callie? He looks like...
I have no idea who you're talking about.
It's like Justin Bieber's, like... Yeah, the church. And Justin and his preacher is, like, basically looks like a chain smoker or something like that. Which is, like, way too young for me to be running a huge religious organization.
A lot.
I love that, when people are who are just recently in marriage, they're just like, oof, marriage is hard. And it's like, that's literally all you hear about marriage. Like, what part of you did not internalize that before you decided to make that jump?
Honestly, like, that's what broke my heart, too. Because, like, they're too early into being married to be so, like, they had a quick and... It wasn't like they dated for 2 years and now they're like marriage is work. Like, they're on month, like, four.
they're on month four. They're like, man, marriage is work. And it's like, you should still be in the honeymoon phase. Like, what's going on?
They got engaged in July.
Yeah.
Like, they got engaged in literally July after, like, 2 weeks of sort of redating each other, which is like, yeah, first of all, you should be in the honeymoon phase. I really wonder what's going on. There's also, like, a lot of conversation around, like, just how they balance each other out, which sounds like it's a good idea, but I feel like they're almost applying... Yeah, I feel like they're applying that, like, thing of, like, oh, we balance each other out to, like, severe codependence. Plus, all of this is taking place inside of a hotel room, which that in and of itself is, like, I know, granted, it's, like, a huge-ass suite, but, like, that's not a permanent enough living situation for two people.
They have a home, though, in Canada.
In Canada.
I think they were just there.
Yeah.
Honestly, my
but
mom
anyway,
marriage is a scam, and like, I believe her.
She did what? Like, so, oh, she is. So, but, like, in what way is it a scam?
She was just like, listen, like, men in general are like a scam. Like, don't fall for it. It's a scam, and
yeah.
I believe she's married, like, she's doing well, you know, like, whatever. But, like, I feel like everyone, no matter how happy your relationship is, like, it's a scam. Men are a scam. But
yeah, I actually agree with that. Like, there's a level of immediate financial entrapment. Like, you're immediately, like, linking yourself financially to someone in most cases. Yeah. Like,
I already have my wedding planned. Like, I'm getting married one day. Like, I have my wedding planned. Like, I'm that girl. But, like, I know it's a scam.
Wait, yeah. What about your partner's input, though?
Huh?
What about what your partner might want? For my wedding? Yeah.
No.
Honestly, like, I feel like there's a certain type of girl out there that they have to, I think Kelly might be one of them, that has to marry someone who's just knows
yeah.
that the plan is taken care of and their needs will be considered second.
Yeah.
It's the fucking bride's day. It is. It's the bride's day.
Help with, like, picking
when you have
food.
A wedding like that.
When you're, yeah,
you can
I
help
was just
with
thinking.
The cake, the food, but, like, the color scheme, like, all that, like, that's me. That's all me.
Yeah, most men don't want to.
I was not thinking from just a pure heterosexual standpoint, but yeah, okay.
Oh, yeah. No, I mean, even.
What happens if there's two brides? Whose day is it, Molly?
I mean, honestly, it's much more rare to see a gigantic ass lesbian wedding with 500 people. That's like a nightmare.
I don't even want to.
Like, that's
wedding.
A straight person thing.
My small wedding is going to be like, it's planned. Like, it's
planned. What kind of dress are you wearing?
Is it rustic? What's going on? What's the vibe?
Yeah, what's the vibe?
I mean, you know, like, I'm thinking, like, a lot of florals, lights, you know, chill outside vibes. Like,
I love that. I see that for you.
Lacy dress type thing, not super poofy, nothing like that. Just chilling, you know? But outside.
I feel like the beach seems like a natural location for you.
You know,
that area.
I'm thinking more, like, garden-ish.
Okay, okay, okay.
Okay, like a country garden. I like that.
Yeah, you guys are going to be invited, so, like, you'll see it
whenever. Oh, my God. Okay. I'm so excited. Well, in 6 years, because, Kelly, you're not allowed to get married for at least 4 or 5 years.
Yeah.
That's, like,
I don't, you're no, I'm out. Not getting married for a minute.
Well, I could be dead by then, so, but
well,
I appreciate the thought. I really do. My love, we're going to start the episode and start listening to our calls, but just so you know, for listeners out there, we will be talking about Thank You Next at some point. We both are Ari stans. So, and I have, Kelly, I have merch coming for you. But don't worry. Ariana, literally, her ass takes 8 to 10 weeks. Like, but I know it's going to actually be more like 3 or 4 months. It took like 4 months.
Time.
I know. I would rather have it take like its time than come out wrong too. So I'm happy
whatever
about that.
Works for her, you know, we're just.
I bend to her will. You're right.
I haven't listened to it yet, so I'm very interested in your takes.
What?
Yeah. Christina hasn't listened to it yet. I know.
I listen to people talk all day, so like listening to words after a while is like a little bit like my ears.
But it's music.
Yeah.
It's
honestly
like,
it's beautiful
I listen
music.
To people all day, I'm driving in silence.
No, I'm not one of those people, but like sometimes I just get tired of human voices.
You know what's interesting is like I will say this too. I'll just give you a category that might warm you up for this. I honestly think that this belongs to like a subgenre that starts with The Miseducation of Lauryn Hill.
Oh, okay. You
like,
got me there.
I think it's
that's
of,
like my favorite album. One that's of my favorite albums of all time.
Me too. That's my favorite album. Like, that's my top five. I have, and like, for me, that's a genre starter. So I'm like, okay, anything that falls under that. Like, I put Jagged Little Pill under that. Like, it's a very specific growth album. And
yes.
Like, this is, oh my God, start to finish. Oof, she made some choices. There's some club bangers in there. Like
there
bad
are some
idea.
Songs that I've heard like the Seven Rings and the which one she does like the whistle.
This,
the whistle.
Imagine.
Yeah,
you've
heard
the singles.
Yeah,
yeah. Have you heard Break Up with Your Boy? Break Up with Your Girlfriend.
Yeah, I saw the video for that too. Yeah,
yeah. That okay. I mean, I really didn't think I was gonna like that, but I had a thought this morning, which is like as much as I was, we'll save it till more. But like I will say, as much as I really like was like I don't like that idea. I don't like. I realize, you know, some of the best songs in American music are about people that know they're doing something bad.
Yeah.
And you know what? That's fucking relatable.
Yeah.
Everyone has had a crush on someone and been like, God, you know, if you left your girlfriend, it would be on, bitch. And like, it just feels dirty to admit that to yourself. You know what I'm saying? Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway, Kelly.
Love that song. Keep that energy away from me.
There was a man. I found this old man. Kelly, you have to watch it after. I'll post it on the Please Advise thing. He's like older. He's like from a foreign country. He's like, I'm just not enticed by the idea of like, you're not entitled to anyone's girlfriend. You're entitled to anyone's boyfriend. Like, he's like literally does a reaction from like the moral standpoint of like a 65-year-old man with no irony. Like, I don't think he understands that like he's not supposed to take it that serious. It's fantastic. Okay. So let's take our calls, Beach. Let's do it.
Hi, Moles, Christina, Wags, and guests. My name is Jennifer. I'm 33. I'm from London. I've been seeing a girl for about 3 months, and should I let her read my tarot? I know it seems like a big deal. Thoughts, please. Thank you very much, guys.
Okay, so this actually came with an email. I know it was short. So she says, "Hey, Malls, Christina, and crew. Just left two rambling voice messages. I didn't play one of them because it was rambling." So she said, "Should my girlfriend read my tarot for me? I'm a person that doesn't necessarily believe in it as a way for contacting the spirit world or anything, but I do believe it is a helpful tool to for folk to organize their minds, point to what's the problem. Oh, and also she uses it all the time. I'm 33, she's 30. We've been together for 3 months and it's getting seriously like only dykes can. I'm also a huge nacho expert, so give me my kind regards to Sammy. Never ever seen a Lifetime movie in my own lifetime. Have a blessed day, Jen."
Oh, hi, Jen. Oh my God! Well, she's
that's
talking
funny that she
about,
like watches. She doesn't watch Lifetime movies. But
a
she
lot of people
to,
yeah, do. So yeah, funny. It's so interesting. Like how many people say that they don't. Well, I have another podcast about Lifetime movies, Kelly. But yeah, okay. So yeah, I heard it. I will say that like she's talking about someone reading her tarot. Like it's like a fluid exchange. Like they're talking about like going off birth control.
Yeah, like
you know,
like they're polyamorous and they're like making a fluid bond.
They're fluid bonding, and so but like the only thing I'll say is
in
like
a way that only lesbians can.
I will say to you that like you know I'm going to let everyone else take off after this. I think that people can be very manipulative with tarot, and I think that it's important to remember that the cards say what they say. And I think maybe you should have someone read your tarot before her, just so that you can see what a normal experience is like. Like literally go get a $5 reading because it's not that deep. It's like really not that deep. And then like I think that the way that it sounds like it's been built up, I feel like she's going to maybe use this opportunity to try and like slide in some information or influence your brain in a way that, because it's not that big of a deal. It's like literally like, I read people's angel cards on here all the time. It's not dissimilar. I've had people pull – I get messages from people all the time. Like, if I say I'm going through something or if, like, whatever, people will be like, I just pulled some tarot for you, like, and they'll send me some cards. And, like, that's how not formal it is, like, that you can just do it for a stranger. So I know it's getting, like, deep and lesbianic, and I love that for you, but, like...
That's real deep.
The lesbianicness or the tarot-ness?
Yeah, it actually says, like, scientific studies have shown that, like, outside of, like, the relationship that most people have with their mother, like, lesbians have, like, the closest,
well, everyone
like, emotional
knows
experience.
That. Yeah. Everyone knows that, like, that's, like, everyone knows whatever goes on with, like, that is, it's very intense, right? We all know that. But like,
I actually didn't, but that is good to know. That's interesting.
How did you not know, Kelly? They move in after a week. That's like the
I
cliche.
I always felt like it was
the
like
UP,
the army boys,
the U-Haul.
And like their girlfriends are like the most like fast, intense pace.
Oh, that's actually a good call too. I don't think that's real love though. Is that terrible? Like, I feel like when lesbians like get in, they're so in love. Like it's like infatuation. And I think this girl's girlfriend is like kind of freaking me out.
Kelly, do you want to weigh in on this?
I mean, I've had my cards read by like this woman in Denver. And honestly, like it was pretty spot on. Granted, like she has no, like no dog in the fight. Like, she has no reason to manipulate, right, like, the cards, anything like that. But if it was someone, like, a significant other, like, say I had, like, a boyfriend or something who was like, oh, let me read your cards. And he's like, well, you know, your cards say that I need more blowjobs. Like, it can go wrong. Like,
right, right. And, like, also, you're like, when enough. That woman read your cards in Denver, right? Like, you weren't leading up to it like, oh, wow, like, this is sacred. Like, I don't know if I should do this. Like, I might not handle the power of the information. Like, you kind of did it, like, yeah.
I did it more for fun. My mom had gone to her and was like, everything she said and ended up kind of being right. And it was actually, like, really interesting. Like, she knew, and, like, she didn't know, like, my last name, anything before. Like, she touched without really digging on, like, the topics that we talked about, like, the last time. And she just knew things. She just knew things, yeah. And I was so shook. She knew things about, like, boys I have dated. She knew things about, you know, Gainesville. She just knew things, and she gave me new perspectives on it, and I thought that was really cool. But I also can see how, like, you know, if I could fake read parts. Like,
so basically, it can be a really good experience, but it's about as serious as, like, getting a hair wrap at camp. Yeah. Like, you shouldn't be thinking about it more than, like, oh, I'm going to get vacation braids.
It's like, not going to change your life. But I feel like definitely hearing, you know, like, your girlfriend can put in what she wants from you, like, subtle little things. Like, it can impact your relationship if you let it, if you take it seriously.
I just don't know why she thinks it's so serious.
It might have been just because, like, the girlfriend has really been like, this guides me every day in my intentions for the day. And it really is grounding in my intentions. So, like, I think you really would benefit from it.
I think if you take one thing from this call, girl, besides whatever Christina's going to say, it's our reaction to how not serious tarot is.
Yeah.
Because it sounds like whatever, it's like, it's literally... That is the least deep part of the call that you made to us. Like, everything else is way more interesting than tarot.
I'm going to agree with you, Molls, that, like, she should start with, like, an objective baseline reading. So, because, like, it is very much, like, up to the person. And so, like, it's kind of like when people get, like, spiritual readings, like ghost readings from someone, they're like, I'm seeing someone with a P who is very influential with you. And you just, like, run through your head of all the, like, P names that you've had in your life. And you just, like, confirm this thing that was completely, like, random. And it may not have, like, you know, it was just an educated guess that they made about someone. I don't know. I think Malz is right. Start with an objective baseline to get started. And then, you know, don't take it too seriously.
Your girlfriend also knows a lot about you,
yeah,
and can absolutely pray to your, like, you know, I'm not saying your girlfriend's a bad manipulative person and
no,
like, necessarily. But I will say, I think it's a fucking possibility. Like, I'll throw that out there. I do think that there's a chance her intentions are not 100% pure, just based on how freaked out you sound by the whole nature of tarot, or, like, just, like, it sounds like you're on some, like, love drug talking about, like, something that's basically not just a deck of cards. And so, you know, literally, like, try a few tarot readings online. Like, tarot,
just,
like,
do
as
it
long
if you
as
you
want to
do it. Just don't if you,
yeah,
don't. Like, it's not.
But just don't trust this woman too much, okay? Like, don't believe anything she says, because she knows who you are. I feel like this is about to wind up with her joining Herbalife.
Yeah, right?
Like, I think she's about to start selling Herbalife or, like, some sort of MLM. Like, this is how people get into cults.
Yeah.
You know?
Oh, my God.
And no disrespect to anyone who, like, who's tarot.
Who's in a cult?
Who uses tarot to, like, help inform them. And it helps.
No,
them, but,
not,
like,
at all.
You know, everyone can choose which degree they can take the seriousness
if
of, like,
anything,
the process.
I say this with respect to those people, because I know true tarot heads are not out here trying to, like, manipulate anyone or influence anyone.
Yeah.
They'll tell you it can be powerful, but also people are, you can't trust them, dog. That's some oil I have. Sorry, that smells like the devil, I think. And it's supposed to ward away the devil. Oh, my God, interesting that this is right here for that. Okay, let's take another call.
Hi, Molly, Christina, Wags, and Guest. I love you guys. I was just calling about a recent dilemma. Just to give a little bit of context, it involves my mom. We have kind of a complicated relationship history. There's like some alcohol, abuse stuff, not between her and I, but between her and previous husbands. And, you know, there was a lot of codependency in the relationship up until a couple of years ago when I actually moved away. I moved a couple hours, got like some healthy distance in there, and things are great. Her and I are in a good place where, you know, we can talk, but it's not codependent, and she's in a great relationship. You know, after three not great marriages, she's finally with a guy that I adore. I'm so happy for them. They're living their best adult, non-crazy life, and I'm here for every second of it. But she recently told me that they're gonna go get married, and the plan originally had been with everybody. You know, everyone's kind of the mind that like this one's gonna stick, so we all want to be a part of it. But at the last minute, she kind of decided, nope, I want to do it just us. They went down south, they eloped with just some friends. And it really hurt me because out of all of the bad marriages that I've been around for, this is one I would have really liked to be at. I believe this is the love of her life and she's so happy, and this is something I really would have loved to be a part of. You know, it's not just her marrying someone, it's me getting a stepdad. It's a blessing to get a stepdad that I adore. So I don't know, when I first was told about it, I felt really hurt. And I'm kind of wondering, you know, is that just the old codependency rearing its head? I mean, she's a grown-ass woman, and she's done this three times with the church and the dress and the, you know, that never really fucking worked for her. So she should get married on a boat if she wants. Like, who cares? Whatever she wants to do. And I think that the mature part of my brain is like, yeah, just let her find her bliss, whatever happens. But I don't know. Do you think it's worth talking about? I mean, we've tried therapy before where, you know, I kind of let her know I had to be the parent a lot growing up. You know, I kind of like parented upward. And so, you know, I think that I've made a lot of strides in like releasing the control from that part of the relationship. But I'm kind of struggling. Should I just let it go? Should I let her know how it made me feel? Should I shut the fuck up and just be happy that she's happy? I don't know. I need some help. Please advise.
Wow. What do you guys think?
Wow. Kelly, do you want to go first?
I think it's very interesting that, you know, his name was Sharky.
Oh yeah, sorry. One of the ex-husband's name is Sharky. She said that in the email.
I don't know how you let someone named Sharky hurt your feelings, but I'm sorry. It's just, I think it's hard when, you know, there's been addiction and abuse and things. Like, it's not really a secret. Like, you know, my brother, he's over a year sober now, and you know, good. Like,
we
that's
love
great,
that.
But love that for him, sober man Dan. But
sober man Dan.
No, really, that's what his name on my phone is, sober man Dan. But
that's so cute.
But I get it to a certain extent. Like, you know, I was there for all the bad times, so like when something good happens, like I'm just so excited. I'm like, yay, like finally, like you really hold on to like good moments. But at the end of the day, like it's their moment and it's not about you, and like your feelings are valid, but you can't, you know, it's her wedding, and like if she's already done the big dress, you know, the Pinterest board stuff, and it just hasn't worked out, and she's like, you know, I want to be more low-key, like let her have that, let it be about her, and just, you know, like she,
I agree,
let her have her moment, and you know, like you feel how you feel and that's okay, but just realize, like, just, you know, this is her marriage. You're like,
yeah,
if you were
I
living
think
in the house and things like that, like maybe, but you said you have healthy distance, like he's your stepdad, but he's not raising you. So
I agree with you. I agree that, like, you know, the first three weddings, were with everyone. And I think that if your mom is doing it different this time, I'm not surprised that she did the wedding differently as well. And you said, like, you know, that the last three marriages were really hard. And I think that the key word there is marriage, because the wedding day probably was fine. And the yeah. only difference that you have here is that you didn't get to have the wedding day.
That's a great point.
Yeah. And but you have the marriage and the happiness that your mom's going to have for the rest of her life. Now, I will say that, like, I think this is an emotion you can have, and I can understand, but I do think that, like, it's not, it won't serve you in the long term yep. at all to keep this attitude about it, because, like, what does it matter? You missed, like, the vows, you know?
Yeah. There's something that I, like, as a person in therapy, I keep getting reminded that, like, you cannot control the pain that you have for something, but you can control the suffering.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And so, like, you know, it's fine that you feel a way about it, but, like, to continually still feel that way, it's, you need to handle that aspect of it.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And I don't think, you know, your mom did anything wrong. I think that you need to think about, you know, maybe scenarios in your life that could, like, lead you to wind up wanting a small, quiet wedding with just you and your significant other. I think that, like, I think actually, you know, I think there's something really poetic and quite obvious about what's different with this marriage in every way. And
I didn't go to my mom's wedding.
Yeah, I would have loved not to go to my mom's wedding.
I was at a barbecue place and she texted us, like, I'm married. We're like, oh, I'm
really?
Eating.
Okay. And how did you feel about that? Like, were you okay with it?
I mean, you know, they were having a big wedding and we were in a dress fitting. And, you know, we were younger. Like, we were, like, still like, no, get married to dad. And we were like, we're not going. And so we ate barbecue yeah. instead. And they got married and they're still together. So,
well,
you know,
how was that, like, barbecue?
But do you still feel really do you still feel a way now about how that went down? Or are you like, whatever, it's fine. It was fine.
I don't regret not going. Uh-huh. Because no one it ended up just being, you know, them and witnesses. And I think, you know, like, they enjoyed their wedding day either way. You know, like, it wasn't overwhelming for us, like, as young kids to, like, you know, see her marry someone else. And
that's,
you know,
scarring. That's, yeah, I can imagine.
You know, like, my dad was getting married really soon after, and, like, we had to go to that one because it was, like, a destination one. And so I feel like, you know, like, we just took a little time out. We were, you know, eating, snacking, me and my siblings, and she got married and she did her thing and she had a good wedding, like, for herself. She was happy about it. And, you know, like, the wedding day is for you, you know, like, the people, like, yes, like, you want them to enjoy themselves, but at the end of the day, like, the wedding's for you. If I want to, yeah. you know, if I want to have a big, my wedding that I have planned already, and I want it to be just me and my groom, like, that's what I'm going to do. Like, and that's what it is. And
yeah.
You know,
and can, like, I wonder how much this was with her mom, like, a wedding versus, like, an exchange of vows. Like,
yeah.
it sounds like
yeah.
an exchange, and it sounds like a vow exchange more
also,
than.
Also, like, your fourth time in, it's just kind of like.
I would be embarrassed to have a big fourth wedding.
Yeah, she might not even just think of it as that big of a deal. You know, it's just like, because she's done it so many times. But I also just, like, want to say, like, it's one thing. It sounds like she's really self-aware of her problems. But, like, it's one thing to be self-aware, but you're not doing anything about it.
Yeah, yeah. She's not giving into, like, she's giving into the part of her that knows that this is childish.
Yeah.
And I think that that's...
And just recognizing that alone is not enough.
Yeah, exactly, exactly.
It doesn't make you a good person.
Yeah,
person
you,
for
I
it.
Would feel like at a certain point you'd be unflattered by it. Like, you would start to feel unflattered by your own feelings here, you know?
That's, like, one of my biggest pet peeves when people are like, I know this about myself, like, but that's just how I am. Like, I tweeted about this the other day. I was like, it, like, stop. If you're aware and you do nothing, like, that's worse than being not aware. And, like, I'm not trying to talk this girl. I'm not trying to attack this girl. Like, you're valid. Your feelings are valid. But, like, switch it up.
Yeah, I agree.
Switch it up.
Switch it up. Time to switch it up. That's why I love Kelly. She's the best. You have such a good
Thank
attitude,
But it
Kelly.
Sounds like she's trying to do the work. It's just be more intentional about it, maybe. because
like, yeah, it yeah. doesn't have to be overnight. It just, you know, like, as long as you're actively like, you know what, like, I feel this way, I'm feeling some sort of way, but you know what, like, I know I shouldn't be feeling some sort of way about this, like, I shouldn't be reacting negatively, like, I should just be happy. Like, sometimes being happy for people isn't easy, but like, you just got to kind of do it, and like, that's the part yeah. of growing up. You don't live with your mom. I feel like if she lived with her mom and, you know, she was younger, I would be upset in a sense. Like,
sure, of course, because it's your home, you know? Environment. Yeah,
yeah, she's 24.
But he's not raising her, you know, like,
yeah,
at the end of the day, who cares.
I agree with you. And like, you know, I will tell you, I say this to be like easy on you, but like, just so you know, sometimes when I'm asking someone like, what do you think about this? Like, I'm waiting to see whether or not they go, oof, you know, like, and you don't really always get that with yeah. us when, cause we hear our calls off mic. And I will tell you, like, this was a little bit of like an oof for me. Like, I was like, this is not a good look for her. This isn't like, you know, she should know better than to like basically give into this. But like, so like, just so you know, like, that was my reaction, but I also understand and don't fully blame you. But yeah. this is like an oof. This is something you need to work on sooner rather than later.
Yeah.
You know? Okay, Kelly. So let's talk a little bit about Thank You Next, because you're going to be probably my first person that I can really get into this with.
Honestly,
I want to know from
no one understands.
How is that possible? You're 21 years old. I feel like there's probably Arianators everywhere around
they
you.
They need to get a better fan.
I know.
Yeah, they are. Okay. So, everyone's yeah, first
like,
of all.
Ariana, we get it. I'm like, no, you don't get it.
I don't think I get it because, well, first of all, like, she's never been great at picking songs. I will say, like, she has some banger singles for sure, but for the most part, like, she's never been a great, like, at selecting songs. I think her taste can be really off, and we see that in everything from her jewelry to her boots.
You mean like A Light Is Coming wasn't really a single worthy?
I actually liked that, but that's Sweetener. So like, yeah. I would say once we got to Sweetener, I was seeing her pick better songs. I would say like her first two albums and even Dangerous Woman had songs on them that I just was like, that's not, I don't really relate to it. It's not a vocal feet for me, whatever, but I always knew she had an incredible voice. Then Sweetener came around. A lot of people were like, have been saying like Pharrell Williams was the worst thing never happened to Ariana Grande, or that album rather. Yeah. I completely disagree. I love Pharrell. I grew up on Pharrell, so I love Pharrell.
I love Pharrell. Everyone should love him.
He's so hot, and like, he also has been around forever. He's been around, like, literally the SWV I Will Be Right Here yeah. remix, that's him at the beginning of the song. Like, literally, that kid was fucking 18 or something when he did that. And
Kelly,
that song,
if you never heard that song, go back and listen to it. I'll send it to you in an email.
Michael
it's
Jackson
so good.
I Will Be Right Here SWV remix. It's yeah. so fucking good. It's in Free Willy. Like,
I know that's the other thing that's wild about that song. It's from the Free Willy soundtrack.
It's from Free Willy.
It's an amazing R&B song.
Yeah.
And like, yeah, it's just like, imagine yourself falling in love with someone while you're listening
Kelly,
to that
you're
album.
Too young for this, but like, when I was like 10 years old and Free Willy came out,
movie
like,
soundtracks were lit back
it's,
then.
It's
I
really
love
hard.
Free Willy.
Yeah, if Free Willy like really switched things up. I also remember seeing The Little Mermaid for the first time in the theater, and that was the first time seeing a Disney movie where they had really like gone over the top with the animation. That's when they really switched to like that sort of like more high def like classic Disney animation that we
yeah,
got to know.
Yeah, they spent months like researching how like her hair would move in underwater.
Yeah, and like that movie was fucking lit. And I remember my mom being like, we're going to go back and see it. We saw Lion King twice in one day. Like, that's how important, like, crazy it was when a dope-ass movie came out.
Yeah.
But anyway, all this is to say that I thought Sweetener was, like, a peak for her. And yeah. then her life fell the fuck apart during all yeah. of this. We've talked endlessly.
At what it should have been like a career peak for her.
Yeah.
Like her personal life fell to shit.
Her personal life fell to shit, which as bad as it is, it was the best thing that could have happened for her. Like, because this album
yeah.
that was born from this, and I think as a person too, she's 25.
Yeah.
Like this is, 25 is like an important part of your life where you start to really grow. I hate to say that, Kelly, because I feel like that means I'm saying the worst is yet to come, but like the most challenging stuff is yet to come.
Don't even say that. The worst. If it gets worse, I'm not interested. I would like to cancel my subscription.
Here's the thing. You get better at handling it. You get so much more resilient.
That's the truth.
It's like you're just like, okay. Yeah. Anything that like would have spun me out at 19, I'm just like, okay.
Yeah. Yeah. And by the time you hit 30, like nothing upsets you. Like, guys, you know.
Yeah. I was all types of spun out at 19, and I just, who's gonna hurt my feelings? No one.
But yeah, it's like, I mean, basically that's the worst thing that can happen to a relationship. And we've talked about this, like literally an ex that you had a messy breakup with passing away a month and a half into your engagement is like, that's my worst havoc. Like literally it's worse than losing a parent, I think, in a lot of ways. Cause it's like, Ghostin says it best, because it's like, I know you're pretending not to hear me cry right now as I lay in the bed crying about this other man, you know? And like first of all, it painted such a picture.
Oh my God. I know. Honestly though, like on the flip side of it though, like in Ghostin at least, like that is her most like vulnerable song, I think. Like,
oh yeah.
For sure. But like on the flip side, like how do you react if you have a significant other and their ex died? Like,
oh, like literally not well. Like I would not handle it well. I actually will say I've never not respected Pete throughout all of this. I think that he's a good kid and that he deserves it. Like, he deserves a lot.
Especially when you're dealing with your own like mental health stuff that you're 100%. Just trying to get together. That like it takes a lot of effort some days to like have to hold it together.
Yeah. I mean,
I don't even have that.
It's hard enough when two mentally ill people get together, and then it's when you throw like gauntlet shit at them like that, like it's gonna explode.
I understand. You know, I do feel like I hate, and I have gotten in the most heated discussion. I love Mac Miller. I listen to him on the regular. Like, I hate that people said that Ariana Grande is milking it. I hate it. And I hate that when she talks about Mac Miller, it's milking it. But when Pete Davidson talks about Ariana Grande, it's not milking it. He's just hurt. Like, I hate that. Like, they're both going through it. They're both working their stuff out. Like,
yeah, I think it's insane to say that she's milking it, because like, you know, not only were they together for 2 years and like obviously like a lot of people blamed her for like the things that were happening to him leading up to like the car crash in and of itself. That in and of itself is traumatic, right? And then like it comes.
I'm sorry.
Oh, no, I was just going to say that like she was friends with him for 8 or 9 years or something. And so,
yeah.
And then watching, as you were about to say, I think like watching being with an addict on, you know, is romantically that and is as a friend is
so
really difficult.
So hard. Like,
oh, right. I mean, you just went through it with your brother.
Yeah. And I've dated people who have had issues, and it's just like being involved in any sort of way. Like, I'll talk on my brother, like, he's so open about it. Like, he'll even say, he's like, I've been horrible when I use, you know? And like, it's true. Like, it's so exhausting. And like, you can't stop them no matter what. Like, you cannot stop them. And sometimes the only way that you can really help them is by leaving them. And, you know, like my brother, like his last relapse was really bad. And we were like, you're on the streets. Like, we are not enabling you. We are not helping you. You go to rehab or you are homeless. And he was like, well, F you. And then he was like, you know what? Actually, this isn't working out.
Yeah, this is not a good long-term look for me.
Yeah,
it's
like,
not cute.
Love and moving, like, you don't have to stay with someone because they are going through it. You know, like, in any scenario, not even addiction, like, if something traumatic has happened, like, you know, what happened to you is not your fault, but like, and like, I've been told this, but like, your healing and like what you do about it is your responsibility, and it's no one else's to make you better. And I agree. I think it takes a lot more courage to like leave than people understand, but that doesn't mean that you don't care about the person.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And she said it, you know, it really like hit me when she said we talked about this time like so many times.
Yeah.
Like, you know, when she about like, you know, basically waking up to this news. And I think anyone who has ever loved or cared about an addict knows that that's your biggest fear is like when the phone rings, that could be about that. And like, you know, that's just it's a terrible thing to anticipate and then to have to happen. And I will say the other thing about Mac Miller that is like especially I would say distressing if you're with him is that he's not running out of money. Like he's not going to use enough drugs that he's not going to be able to keep going. Like he was still like at a peak as an artist. He was like financially set. He had people around him that were enabling him. Like, you know, it's almost different when someone hits rock bottom because they have nothing. Like when, you know, if you can chalk it up to being like, oh, like she thinks she's better than this or like we love each other. But, you know, like, and I think that that's the kind of excuses that addicts make where it's like, oh, she wanted something different.
Or like people who like are love addicts but aren't involved in their life to make them stop. It's like they expect the person who's the significant other to like completely shove off whatever stuff they're dealing with in their own lives to like make that one person and their struggle a priority. But if you have your own mental health issues or own demons that you're dealing with, like, there's a point it's where you exhausting. Have to cut it off and be like, I need to take care of myself. Like, I'm not useful to you.
And there's also, like, some you stuff that I wonder. Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
Oh, no.
Say that again, Kelly. Sorry.
I was just saying, you can't pour from an empty cup. And, like,
yep.
Like, something that, like, I've been told, like, throughout, like, my time in, like, different therapies is, like, you're always told, like, even on airplanes, like, put your mask on before you put someone else's on. So Lord knows what was going on in her life and her relationships and just in general, like, you need to at some point, like, be like, you know what, I can't help anyone if I'm not helped. Like, helping myself. And so, like, I think people want to demonize her leaving. Like, you left him at his lowest point. Like, do you think she just saw, like, oh, you're doing drugs? Peace. She was probably like, oh, well, let's try to fix this. And at a certain point, you need to have respect for yourself and just cut it off.
Yeah, I would be surprised if at any point during their relationship he had ever really been fully sober. And, like, especially knowing him as a friend, like, you know, when someone, you know, you don't expect them to necessarily change. And I do wonder, like, what if Ari has secrets of her own, if she's got some demons of her own. But, you know, this whole thing really made me think a lot about how, like, we don't really talk about her dad and, like, her complicated relationship with her father and, like, you know, how that might have some, like, you know, some stuff in play here for her. Because, you know, her dad, I don't really know the details except that her parents got divorced when she was, like, really young, like one or two. And she had a decent relationship with her dad, but like Joan, her mom did like a lot to sort of make sure that he didn't have any like real custody of her. He was like allegedly like abusive or whatever, like I don't think physically, but he was like a threatening type person, right? And like he started to show up more when Ariana was a teenager, and then I guess there was some sort of business deal or something that he made a betrayal, like similar to like what's going on with Kanye West right now with like his cousin like charged some fashion designer like $900,000 to do a deal with him to say Kanye would play. And like it was a fake deal, but it was like run through his cousin. Like I think her dad tried to do something like that, like some sort of like put her name on something, sort of whatever. And Britney Spears' dad has been caught doing shit like that too. But like, I can't help but wonder like what her relationship with her dad is like done, because she does have a habit of like going from person to person, you know. She does have a very notorious history of overlaps, being cheated on, you know. It's interesting to me. It's interesting because like that makes me wonder that I whenever I'm listening to something, I'm always trying to read between the lines.
Yeah.
And like to a fault probably, because like this, a lot of these songs are co-written, but like the album seems so autobiographical. Like you can't help but wonder about some bigger picture stuff.
I was watching an interview and she was like, it's co-written, but basically all her friends were like, when shit went down, they were like, we're on a plane, we're on our way. And it was just like them. Apparently the whole album was written when she was like drunk, and it was just like crying therapy session and songs.
She said that Ghostin was the one. It took her like 2 weeks to write that because she would have to take breaks in between or whatever. I'm just telling Christina because Christina don't know shit. Everything else on the album was written in like an hour, which is like incredible because they're her best, most raw, honest songs. And like also sonically speaking, this album is just fucking bop after bop. Like literally Bad Idea. I could see Bad Idea, God. Like, shaking down any gay disco in West Hollywood. Like, literally, like,
I'll let
truly,
you know if it plays tonight. I'm supposed to be going out. I'll let you know if I hear something.
If you hear Bad Idea.
But favorite tracks from both of you? I want to hear what your favorite tracks are.
Okay, Kelly, you go first, because I have to think.
Mine is Needy. Like, I just, you know, she went in on us and herself. She just exposed the inner codependent and all of us.
I agree. I'm about to be one of those like gay guys on YouTube that's like, I like Needy, NASA, Fake Smile. Like, I literally am gonna list every single song. I know. I guess like
she dropped like a snippet of Needy, and when I tell you, like, I sound like a really like creepy, crazy stan. Like, I would listen to it like over and over because I'm like, okay,
me too.
Like,
no, me. I used to do the same thing.
You say this like the album didn't, like this album dropped like years ago.
No, like we've been listening to these clips for like 2 months. Like Ari, like she really drags us along. Like Ari drags us along. Like, can you admit that? Like, she really owns our asses. Like,
okay,
and I'm a 35 year old woman. Like, why am I listening to this 25 year old girl?
Apple Music didn't release it on time, and I bought Spotify Premium.
I
have Apple Music, but I needed to hear it at midnight, and so I was like, you know what, Apple Music, I'm getting Spotify, and I got it, and I paid $9 for it, and I don't regret it.
Best $9 you ever spent. I was thinking of you guys too because we get it at 9 p.m.
Yeah, it was
so I was like,
I saw it popped up as a notification for me because they're like, Spotify's like, I have something
you pre-saved
that you
it,
want.
Bitch. Yeah.
No, it was like, we have something you think you would like to hear.
Yeah, I think I think
Molly's losing it right now.
Scooter Braun is up there with Kris Jenner of just people that are like high key crazy hustlers.
Yeah,
like they figured out every way. Did you see all top 20 of the iTunes charts yesterday were Ariana songs?
No way.
Yeah, every single one. And thank
you. Yeah, does she have a rock song on there?
No. Like the top 20 of the whole U.S.
Charts. The actual like single charts.
Yeah. Like, so
I thought she was owning every like genre chart. And no. I was like, wow.
No. Could you imagine her putting out a country?
Well,
no,
Beyonce put out a country single.
No.
So
please.
No, this song does like, it sounds a lot of Rihanna influences.
I actually would be into like an Ariana practicing different genre album.
And she has a very good, like, she can do like the diva like ballad. She does an incredible like Celine Dion impression that's like good or maybe
and
better
Shakira.
Than Celine Dion. Yeah, she's incredible. Like, she could I think
oh yeah I've seen her
on
SNL
that. But like I will say that like I will say this album was great for Rihanna fans because Rihanna has starved us for 2 years 3 years probably. It sounded a lot. There was a lot of those influences. It was really like, I don't know. It's like dirty, by the way.
It is like the girlfriend that break up with your girlfriend.
Well, yeah, and like makeup.
Oh, yeah. How
is
do you
like
feel about the
starting
of that
a nasty ass fight so your boyfriend will fuck you? Like, makeup is like literally like fuck.
But
like, I was watching. Yeah.
Can we all just admit that we relate to a lot of them? Like, even makeup.
Oh, all
like,
of them.
Like, we hate ourselves for it. Like, I hate myself for feeling needy on the level I do. I hate myself for feeling makeup on the level I do. For break up with your boyfriend, I'm bored. Like, you know, am I going to go dye my hair? Like, oh, and she dropped the music video. Like, okay, queen. No, but, like, am I going to go dye my hair to look like your girlfriend and, like, try to steal you? No. Have I been, like, damn. That girl's girlfriend's cute? Yes. Am I going to do anything about it? No. But, like, have I started a fight with a boyfriend to, you know, like, makeup? Yeah.
Because, like, break up with your boyfriend, break up with your girlfriend and bored, it's, like, almost, like, it's less of a demand and more of, like, a prayer. Do you know what I mean? It's, like, this is what I'm over here thinking. I know you're thinking this, too. She's not, like, I'm saying this to you, boy. Like, she's, I think they did that song very cleverly because I, right away when I saw that title, and she is a smart businesswoman, I was thinking of Cassie David. I was, like, oh, if I was Cassie David and I saw that, I would absolutely want to die. But it turned out to not be about that, and she executed it in a way that I didn't feel like, I'm like, oh, this is a nasty shot at another woman, you know? But I don't know. I thought it was I thought it was dope. I would say Fake Smile and Ghostin, and then I love Bad Idea, and then I love NASA. Needy. Okay. Needy. NASA's good. I think NASA serves a really important spot that, like, there's never been a song about it where a girl's just like, yo, like, I love you. This is not a fight. There's not, you didn't, literally, it's just one of those days by Monica for this generation where it's like, I just want to kick it. I need space, but I love you.
So what I'm going to do is, and this is also a little bit not fair because, like, I'm going to say, like, next time we record, I'll have listened to it. And that's 3 episodes from now.
Yeah. But, no, listen to it at home and then come in and make notes.
Yeah. I want to do that. I want to listen to it at home. I love, my favorite thing is to read, like, all the annotations on Rap Genius. Mm-hmm. So, like, I'm going to do a deep dive on this album.
I love that.
And then I'm going to present to you my
thoughts.
And
listen to it, like, while you're reading, like, Rap Genius. Okay, Christina is going to read a letter.
Okay, so. Hi, Malls and Christina. First, I want to preface this by saying, I know this is an issue that needs continual work with some kind of therapist, and I am looking into that.
Okay.
But in the meantime, I could really use some candid advice. Basically, I'm in a nearly 4-year relationship, both women, if that's relevant, 100% relevant, that has some ongoing communication issues that I'm not quite sure how to fix. The best summary I can give is that there's a combo effect of my partner being very, very sensitive to criticism, and I really struggle with telling people things they don't want to hear. This has created a situation which has been years in the making, where when my partner does something that bothers me or hurts me, I feel helpless in terms of addressing it. What has happened in the past is I'll work up the courage to say something like, hey, this thing you really did doesn't work for me, or it hurts me in some way. And she will shut down or cry for hours, or just get so self-deprecating and ashamed of herself that I'm just like, it feels like I'm just kicking her when she's down by trying to talk about it further. In her defense, because it takes me so long to work up the mental strength to give that kind of feedback, I think I've often given it at a non-ideal time. I also find myself immediately walking back any criticism when I see her reaction because I hate putting her through it, which ultimately does neither of us any good and wastes our time and emotional energy. Like I said, this pattern has been going on for years, and now I've gotten to a point where I just withdraw and don't bring up anything that's bothering me. But at the same time, I'm definitely not the most enthusiastic partner anymore. I struggle with feeling intimate with her and generally feel tired, which probably doesn't help her sense of self or the relationship either. I found myself unhappy in this relationship lately. I love her a lot, but feel resentful and sensitive because of the things that she's done that have hurt me. Not huge, but because it's all unresolved and unexpressed, the pain is magnified. What can I do to try to get back on track? Or is this relationship maybe past the point of no return?
Mm.
Oh, and some other background info. We're both in our early 20s, started dating in college, and this is the only long-term relationship I've ever been in. Thanks a million. Al.
I mean, can I just start out by saying that, like, it sounds like you're, like, she's the only one in the relationship allowed to have feelings, and that you guys have established that by now. So, like, as long as you can come to terms with the fact that you're never going to be allowed to have feelings in this relationship that are honored and, you know, dead ass. Like,
yeah, no, it's true. No, I'm laughing because it's so true. Because
she's minimizing, like, any time that you come to her, defensiveness is really difficult to begin with.
Let me tell you, it is something I am working on in therapy.
It's really hard because, like, you hit a wall and, like, I think anyone who cares about someone, their instinct is to not want to hurt them.
Yeah.
And so especially if you, like, care about someone enough to take an issue to them, because most of the time people just won't bring it up. if you care about someone enough to take an issue to them, and then they're like, their immediate reaction is like your worst fear, which is like they take it the wrong way and it becomes like a negative problem as opposed to like a potential thing that has a fix and a solution.
Yeah.
You're not going to want to do it again. And look at where you are. You're scared to bring stuff up in your own relationship. And that is a form of abuse. It is like, it's, I think it's emotional abuse. I think that it's very manipulative. Like, I know that there is like a broader term that like, I just think that you should look at like some sorts of narcissistic abuse, because I think that that definitely, whenever you go to someone and you tell them that you have a problem and then you leave feeling like you had the problem.
Yeah. Oh, I hate that.
That's when narcissistic abuse.
Wait, what?
That's narcissistic. That's because that's a person that can't, they would rather have you feel like that pain and deal with it and see how, because you've taught her that you will back down.
Yeah.
And take on that responsibility. I don't think that it's necessarily too late to save, but I think at the very least, you guys need a break.
There's definitely been moments where I've had, like, I'm coming because they're the ones who have the problem, and then I've, like, ended up the situation, like, apologizing for bringing up the problem in the first place, and I'm just like, wait, how did this happen?
Yeah. Like, yeah, I mean, it happens, like, sometimes you have friends who do it, but it happens a lot in romantic relationships, especially ones that started out with, like, a lot of passion.
Yeah.
You know, because like it you very quickly become very forgiving of each other because you know, you want to move past it. And like once if a person is predisposed to doing this with their personality, once they see the weakness in you, they're going to keep going for it, because why wouldn't she?
Yeah.
She gets to legitimize your complaints. She gets to live the life she wants. Like, she gets a girlfriend. She doesn't have to be held responsible, really. She doesn't have to deal with your feelings. Like, you know, you're sitting here saying that, like, it sounds like you're doing all the feeling in the relationship.
Yeah.
You're so held down by your fear of her and that you can't. Yeah.
You spend so much time, like, trying to figure out a way. Like, think about all the hours of investment you've had to, like, try to come at something a different angle.
On eggshells full time. And that is you'll miss your, like, you have already spent half a decade almost in this relationship. I think you have to take a break. And I think that, like, part of that's going to involve getting to know yourself better. And part of that is going to involve meeting other people.
Yeah.
And seeing that this is not how people treat each other all the time. Because when you've been with someone for a long time who treats you badly, you will be shocked when they all of a sudden, like, you start to meet people that treat you well. You're like, whoa, what's this?
That is so true. Like,
and also, sorry. Go ahead, sorry.
No, I was just going to say, like, that's so true. Like, you don't sometimes, like, you don't realize how invalidated you are by someone until someone else validates you. So I feel like the advice for her would probably be leave her, break up with your girlfriend, we're bored. But, no one should. I feel like also if you know that someone's very sensitive, because I feel like there's a difference between being sensitive and being dismissive about someone's, like, coming to you with an issue.
I agree. I think you're right. I think her girlfriend sounds very insensitive. In fact, she seems insensitive to other people's feelings.
Exactly. So I'm very sensitive. Like, if I feel like, if you tell me that I hurt you, like, I'm going to be really upset by it, but I'm not going to be angry and, like, dismissive. Like, I'll acknowledge it, but, like, I'll be visibly upset, maybe, like, depending on the situation. Like, I'll feel very bad and I'll be like, oh my God, like, you know.
That's a good way to put it. When someone's angry that you were hurt, that is weird. Yeah. That's a weird, you know, reaction.
Yeah. People who are angry when you tell them that, you know, that they hurt you, they don't care.
I think, like, it's one thing, like, to say you're being petty, but it's like that thing where you're like where you're like, come on, you're being a little bit petty. But like when someone comes to you and is like, hey, when you say that, it really hurts me. And they're like, well, what do you expect? Like, you think that, like, you can say this and that won't hurt me? Like, they immediately deflect and or they immediately, like, try and phrase it in a way that's like, well, you taught me to treat you like that. I thought that's how you liked it.
Yeah.
And, you know,
I feel like you should never I'm so sorry. I feel like I keep interrupting. I don't mean to.
No. It's our lapse in our connection. We're like a couple seconds behind, I think, or like a second.
It's also
behind.
Just like the nature of not being able to see each other's body language.
Yeah. I feel like you should never, like, I've learned to never accept an apology that is like, I'm sorry I made you feel that way. It's like, acknowledge, like, you did make me feel that way. If I made you feel that way. I messed up what I was saying. It should never be, I'm sorry if I made you feel that way. It should be, I'm sorry I made you feel that way. Like, because there's no if someone's telling you that you made them feel a certain way, you made them feel a certain way. It's not like, if I did that, like, you did do that. So acknowledge it.
Because that's not the intention, right? It's never to be like, an ideal response would be like, I made you feel that way and that sucks because I would never want you to feel that way. You know, like, I buy that when someone says, like, this is the, like, unfortunate part.
I think that it's great that you're like, this needs to be in therapy, but, like, she needs to be in therapy 100,000%. Like, you can do all the, like, emotional labor in therapy to, like, figure out how to deal with this situation, but nothing's going to change unless she changes.
Because I was going to say from the jump, like, when we started, like, when you started off the email, I was like, oh, this girl's a fucking defensive pain in the ass. Because, like, when someone comes in, like, maybe it was also the way that you read it, too, where you were like, I know it, blah, blah, blah. Because, like, that's funny. But, like, also, like, I do think that it was probably written like that. Like, where it's like, I know what the problem is. And it's like, well, do you? Because, like, you're basically, you're defending us trying to help you.
Yeah.
You know, like, you are, like, trying to tell us that, like, you've got this under control. But it sounds really unfair to you and really not in control. And, like, if I were you, like, I would approach some of your old ass friends, like people who have known you for a long time, if you have those people in your life, and be like, yo, like, have I changed? Like, do you feel like I'm the same person? Do you feel like I have lost myself or am losing myself to this person?
Miserable all the time. Every day? For how long have I been this miserable?
Yeah. Do, like, I complain most of the time you see me?
Yeah.
You
know? And you're in your early 20s. Like, I know, especially since it's a same sex relationship with two ladies, it can feel very intense and, like, you know, you have emotionally invested in each other in a way that it may be a lot of people in their early 20s haven't. But, like, you can find something like that again. In
all the more reason to pull out.
Yeah.
You know, and like, and honestly, state it as a break. Like, and, you know, you might find that this person will be like, you know what, if you want to take a break from me, we're fucking over. And then great. Then you find out who they are.
The other thing, I was looking through my phone for some of this call because I was looking for this very, there's a therapist that I follow on Instagram, and she posts a lot about self-defensiveness, and, like, she actually had a post this morning about it, and this morning being February 9th. So her handle is NEDRATAWWAB. I don't know how to pronounce that, but that's what her handle is. Molly, I'll send this post to you.
Okay.
But she does have a post that's like, if you're defensive, remember this, I am not under attack. What is this person saying that might have some value? I can respond after this person finishes their point. I am not always right. It's okay for people to speak their truth. Listening allows me to respond appropriately. And it's just like, I don't know, if you can't afford to go to therapy right now, or if you want to kind of prompt somebody, like, hey, this is an interesting angle to look at something. Mm. Like, you can forward, like, these kinds of Instagrammy posts from actual, like, therapists.
It sounds so dumb, but, like, that stuff does happen. Like, there's little, like, just, like, pick-me-ups that you can do just to, like, you know, they always say, like, check in on your friends. And, like, it doesn't have to be that deep. It doesn't have to be as deep as, like, hey, like, I know you're going through something. Are you okay? Like, it can literally just be, like, yo, here's an Instagram. And, like, hopefully if that person's going to hurt themselves, they'll shoot a message back. Like, you know?
Like, so you can send her, like, an Instagram just being, like, hey, this is a way that, like, I mean, if she's already defensive, she's going to be, like, you think I'm defensive?
Oh, you know. But, like, that's exactly. I wouldn't send her that Instagram. I'd be sending yourself Instagrams. I wouldn't send her anything.
My advice for this person is honestly, like, especially because they said they're in their late 20s, like, I'm only 21. I'm really just getting into this weird part of my life. But I saw this video of this judge speaking to this woman, and, like, I send it to all my friends now whenever they have a guy problem. And, like, it's something, like, it's difficult to live by, but, like, you really need to. Like, it is not for compromising. Like, it is not for, like, it's for learning what you want. It's for, like, 20s are for learning what you want, like, what you will put up with, what you won't put up with, like, who you are and building, like, your life and, like, someone who adds to it. And if you're constantly constantly compromising, like, that's just not what you're going to build. And not only that, like, the easy excuse is, like, I've been with this person for so long, I've invested this time, like, my friend Nicole, like, literally, like, if I ever have told her that, she's like, people spend years married and they get divorced. Like, you're only adding more time. You're only adding more, more to that one excuse that you're going to. So cut it off. Realize that, like, you're young. It sucks and it hurts. But, like, you will move on. You will be okay. Like, you were fine before her. You will be fine after her. And she needs help. And if you can't help her, help yourself. Because she sounds very manipulative and just not a good partner.
Girl, tweet me that video, first of all. I agree. I totally agree. You cannot buy your time back. And, like, I'm not a believer in, like, oh, you wasted the best years of your life. Like, what you did is what you did, but you can stop it today. Like, yeah. And then not, and choose not to live more days like that, you know?
Yeah, 100%.
So, but the best you can do, girl. But call us back and let us know what you do. I really hope that you, you know, stick up for yourself because you deserve it. And you've been through a lot, it sounds like. So, you know, not Ariana Grande a lot, but you've been through a lot.
No one has.
No one has. Okay, let's play our last call.
Hey, Maude and Christina. My name's Haley. And I just wanted to call you guys and say thank you for the advice that you gave on the first episode of 2019 to the girl who was wondering about meeting her boyfriend's kid. My parents had me when they were 19, and my dad never let me meet any of his girlfriends until I was 17 years old, and it's something about him that I really, really appreciate. He definitely wasn't perfect, but that time with him, just the two of us, is really special to me, and I just wouldn't have wanted to share that with someone temporary. Especially now that, like, I would never want my dad to be alone, and I don't want to be selfish, but he has a girlfriend now and things are just different. I mean, I'm 24, so, like, it doesn't need to be the same. I'm an adult, but it's obviously different between the two of us. It's not as close as we used to be when she's around. So I really appreciate that, and I definitely think that that's something that girl should find admirable about that guy. And I just wanted to thank Maude for opening up as well. All right. Thanks, you guys. Bye.
Thanks, Sister Haley. That was really, really nice. I actually wound up hearing from a few of you guys about sharing on that episode, which is so just funny because I often forget almost immediately after an episode is recorded that so people will be like, thanks for what you shared. And I'm like, it could be anything. It could be literally like I used baby feet.
Wait, what
this
did
week.
I say?
Like, yeah. I never know what I said. But yeah, I'm really glad I shared that. And I'm really glad that call happened. And I wouldn't be surprised if the girl who called us with that doesn't call again because, like, I would probably be afraid after eliciting a big emotional reaction from someone, you know? Yeah, I wasn't mad at her. I was just, like, heartbroken.
No, I mean, but it's, like, this is the thing that, like, people are, like, well, if you don't...
Wait, Kelly, do you even know what we're talking about? Like, some girl...
So she wanted to meet someone's kid or something?
Yeah, it was a girl that called that she was... She's, like, 29, and she was dating a 34-year-old guy that had a young kid, and she felt like it was absurd.
6 months in, she's like, I haven't, or 6 or 4 months in, she was just like, I haven't met her. I think it's weird. Like, I want.
He has girlfriends that the kid knows, and it's like, well, you're not his friend. Like, basically, she just was very like, I felt very selfish.
Which
is like really rough. But so people, you know, you are also a child of divorce. Like, you already kind of, we touched on that this episode about how your mom, like, sort of went off and got married. Because, you know, for me, I had a single mom, too. And, like, her dating was very, meeting guys that she dated was very difficult for me. Mm-hmm. For, like, you know, and had a huge impact on me. And, like, can you speak to that? I want to say it, first of all, though, Haley, like, your dad sounds awesome. Like, that's, I think, Like, he's what a role model. Like, really, honestly,
he had his priorities straight.
But did you have like experience with that, Kelly? Like feeling like you met a one of your parents, like significant others, too soon, or it was like weird and
definitely. I mean, my dad is on his third marriage right now, and you know, I've known her for years now, and you know, I have a stepbrother now and like all of that. But I mean, you know, I didn't like my stepmom from before this one. And like, it was, you know, like sometimes like, and you know, my mom's boyfriends before, like I've gotten attached to them after, like, you know, there were ones that I really liked and then they break up. And it was like, you know, like, I think
that's hard. It's when you like them, it's as almost when you like them, it's as hard as when you don't, you know,
when you don't like them, it's like good riddance, you know, but when you do like them, it's difficult, you know, like if my stepmom now moved out, I'd be, you know, I'd be sad. And like,
because like, in a way, what's worse is like
different, but
is it worse
like,
to live in like
a boyfriend once that I'm sorry, what?
I was just saying, like, is it worse to live in a shitty situation and then get free of it? Or is it worse to live in, like, a really harmonious, happy situation and have it end? Like, I think that either way, that sucks, you know? But you were saying your mom dated a guy you didn't like.
Well, my mom dated a guy that I didn't like. And when he left, I was like, bye, see you never. And my mom also has dated guys that I did like. And when they left, I was like, oh, like, I miss them. I miss their kids, you know, because
they have
children. And it's like, you know, it's just, you have to be sensitive about it. And, like, you can't feel entitled because that kid has a mother as well. And that's something that you need to keep in mind. It's not only up to him, because if I have a child with someone and they just introduce that child to every girlfriend that they have after me, it's going to be an issue.
Yeah. Oh, wait, Kelly, you watch YouTube shit, right?
Yeah.
Are you following like what's going on with Trisha Paytas and Jason Nash?
Barely.
Like she just exposed the fuck out of. Yeah, she exposed the fuck out of them and also like dragged the kid's mom, like his kid's mom. And, like, I actually sort of agreed with a lot of what Trish had to say, but it was rough. And, like, I could not imagine my dad dating a woman who masturbates on Patreon for a living and, like, having her Trisha Paytas masturbates on Patreon, like, for her private Patreon.
Oh, okay.
So, like, that's how she makes a lot of her money. And so,
I don't
like,
know who that is.
She's my favorite YouTube star. She's the big blonde girl that I always post
you
pictures
like
of.
Her?
Oh, I love Trisha. I mean, like,
I like her in a way
that, like, I know what's wrong with her. Like, I know everything that's wrong with her. It's not like she's just a troll. And I've also known her around the internet for like 15 years, it feels like. Like, Jeffree Star, I've known on the internet for 15 years. Like, you kind of like, they're problematic people, but like, they're kind of like running into someone from high school you don't talk to anymore. Like, it's like, oh, look at you. Like, what weird shit you're still up to. So, yeah. But I was just feeling bad for his kids because they're like 11 and 13 or something.
Yeah.
And like, they're going to school. And like, you know, the dad hangs out with like the vlog squad, which is like the young, cool part of the internet. So right. Like, all these kids are probably seeing these videos. And like, yeah, that's another reason to sort of keep your relationships private. Oh, and definitely offline. I need to talk about how people need to stop. There's too many kids online. They're all online. Mm-hmm. They're everywhere. And, like, it's not – some of these things are going to be really, like – it already scares – yeah. No. I'm just saying –
you mean, like, eight-year-olds?
No, I mean, like, babies. Like, I mean, like, literally, like, people posting pictures of their babies and shit like that. No, you're a fun kid on the internet. You should be on the internet. Everyone, like, you're the exact age of people that should be on the internet. But, no, like, when I see, like, you know, it's really weird. I don't know if you've heard of this murder of, like, Chris Watts. He's a guy in Colorado that murdered his wife. But she was, like, a Facebook multi-level marketing person. And so there is hours and hours and hours of footage of them that's all online, pictures of their kids, Facebook videos, and like you can watch now. And so what scares me is how many like murders and future crimes and stuff we're gonna have, like living family albums of these people that we can all experience retroactively. Like, I feel like I know too much about the Tate murders and like the LaBiancas and like the Helter Skelter world. And that was in the 60s, like when there was no... Christina has the saddest look on her face. Christina, like, are you okay?
It was like, hello, darkness.
I was like, come back to me, friend. Yeah, like, I literally just watched like that meme happen over you. Like, holy shit. Damn, take that filter off. Okay, well... Anyway, Kelly, we're going to wrap this up because I feel our friend is going to come
soon. Thank you
soon.
Very much for like sharing that part of your life with our listeners. And yes. I think it's like that raw emotion was what I was going to say is that like, you know, she might have been deterred from that raw emotion. But I think that like that display is important because they know how deep that wound is for you.
Yeah, it's a deep, it's a fucking deep wound. But like, it's also like, it doesn't, you know, it's not always like. It's something that's there.
Yeah.
You know, like it's sometimes it's funny.
Honestly, I'm definitely not scarred by my parents' divorce or anything like that. Like, thank God they're divorced. But like, honestly, yeah. I mean, I'm keeping my kids away. Like, if I, God forbid, I'm, you know, not with their dad.
It might not be
like,
that deep, but
like
it's that.
That
serious.
Yeah. I'm going to be the godmother of your children. Yeah. Yeah, well, I can't wait to come to the christening and everything like that for your kids, whatever it is you do, the bris.
the bris.
I am. When Kelly gets her child circumcised, yeah. I will be in Florida. Okay, you guys, thank you so much. Kelly, I love you so much. You're my favorite 21-year-old from the internet. I adore you. I want to, let's like do more of Kelly coming back on. And like, I want to add like a Patreon for Please Advise or something where maybe we can just do like a 5-minute chat with Kelly once in a while and like, you know, check in with some Greg the Reg.
Honestly, so I had messages from people that like reached out to me and it made me feel so good. I was like so happy. I was like, whenever you guys want me on, I'm here.
Please Advise Nation lives for you. We love you.
People were like sliding into your DMs.
Yes, I found the message today, like the sweetest message from this woman. And she was like, I had a similar experience to you when I was 17. And like, just listening to you was so healing and like all this stuff. Like I had people like, just like the nicest reactions from like women. And I was just like, you guys are lovely. And I just liked it. It was really nice.
Please Your Advise Nation, we've got you, girl. Please Advise Nation, we have your back. And like, guys, we'll link Kelly's first episode if you guys haven't heard it, just so that like It'll there's the more context notes. To how we met this 21-year-old girl in Florida. Yeah. Yeah. But yeah, it's a great episode. And keep reaching out to Kelly. She's the best, but also protect her. Protect her at all costs. Kelly, we love you so much. We're going to link all your social medias and stuff like that. Make sure, you know, you keep an eye out for creeps and perverts and sex trafficking. I don't like it. I've been reading a lot about sex trafficking. Well, I didn't know. I mean, I knew, but there's a lot of sex trafficking.
It's happening in plain sight.
Yeah. You could any moment. And how many times? Do you know how many times I probably was almost sex trafficked and I have no idea because I'm clueless?
Okay,
you know,
well,
I think about that.
House anymore, I think.
Don't. Yeah, that's actually probably smart. Be like Miley Cyrus and make a club room in your house. Okay.
That's
stay
a
out of
good
trouble.
Idea.
It's literally brilliant. I know. We'll make a bar in your house. I love you so much. if we ever like are in the same state, it would be so magical. And I can't wait to talk to you more soon, okay?
Okay, thank you for having me on.
Of course, honey. Bye.
Bye.
Thank you.